Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Lee Stringer's here. Lee's a great member of our Brain Trust. She's an accredited professional and workplace sustainability expert. Her organization is EYP Architecture and Engineering. She is the author of a new book called The Healthy Workplace, How to Improve the Well-Being of Your Employees. She's our good friend, Lee Stringer. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. So there are things that aren't intangibles. Well, let me say this. There are lots of intangibles in the productivity factor of our employees.
Right.
But there are some things that really aren't intangibles, but they seem like intangibles because they're below the radar so much. The way ergonomics and the environment around the, you know, the temperature, the lighting, how we help people take breaks, how we give them their days off, how we, you know, all the different things, how they come and go from work to their homes. Those aren't intangibles because they're real, but I was thinking that they seem like intangibles because they're often below the radar and we don't pay attention, and yet they have such a big impact.
It's part of our day, you know, it's part of our work day. Yeah, we've been working, my firm, with Harvard School of Public Health and trying to, since the book came out, to really dig deeper and figure out what are those intangibles, but also how do they interact with all the tangibles, how they interact with the intangibles. So, mm-hmm. You know, there's the built environment, but how does that kind of rank when you compare it against culture and engagement, productivity, and all these things that are really important for business?
Well, you guys did research on this, didn't you?
We did.
What'd you
find? We did. So some of the little nuggets that came out that we were really intrigued by, one, really just start with location of where your office is or your workplace. Hmm. If your location was next to green space, in the case of our offices,
right.
We were much more likely to work out. There was a direct correlation. And that also went for if we were next to public transportation. There's all these studies that show that
much more likely to work out. What is that? Tell me what you mean.
Walk, get in your steps.
Okay, all right.
Or bike. You know, if right. you're next to green space, it's just easier to get right. in and bike to work.
And also probably, I mean, just looking out the window.
Yeah.
At green space, right?
Yeah.
Getting up and going outside
all kinds
for a minute, taking
that.
A break outside instead of in a break room, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's gotta be rejuvenating.
It is. Okay, so another interesting point, per what you were just saying, turns out we had one of our offices had, we were experimenting on ourselves, of course, and one of our offices had some temperature issues at the window. Of course, this always happens, right? It's really hot on one side, really cold on another side. But we asked people who was more satisfied in general with their workplace, and it was people by the window. So we were thinking, oh, well, maybe temperature doesn't matter so much when you have this great view. You know, it's kind of you have to take it all into consideration. And, of course, we're working on the temperature problem. But it was kind of an interesting finding there that people who were within 15 feet of a window in general in all of our offices tend to be more satisfied. So interesting how that works. Another really interesting finding about our population, I thought, was that there was a total direct correlation between the amount of sleep our employees got, their commute time, and their workload.
Now, I've got some questions about this that I want to ask you. Because I've experienced this with my employees, and I need to be specific, with young male employees who go home from my business, I don't have any right now doing this, but I have had them, who go home and game all night long.
Yeah.
So this is a new phenomenon.
That's not good.
This didn't happen 10, 20 years ago.
Right.
Now, in my day, I was, you know, I might be up late because I was out, looking for girls, but
gallivanting. Yeah.
But they're not doing that now. They're comfy and cozy in their custom chairs with their headphones on and they're shooting somebody down from China. You know, I don't know what's going on. But
well,
it's a real issue, isn't it?
It is an issue, and it's really addictive, and all these devices.
Did you find that?
The email games are even worse.
Did this pop up in your research at all?
You know, it did for the book, and I found that the highly addictive nature to all the social media, but also the game, what's called gamification, right? And all these video games that, you know, there's a point system, there's playing with other people, there's competition, there's all these elements that suck you in.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, of course, is that we're now trying to apply that same, psychological, pulling you to do something,
right,
encouraging you to make good behavior. We're now putting in our Fitbits and things like that. So you compete with your neighbor, compete with your other team.
So now our life is a reality show.
It is.
I hate that.
It is. So we're still trying to figure out this technology thing. And what's crazy, and of course it's not going away.
But should we try to get a handle on that as employers? I mean, I had to have a couple of prayer meetings with these young men and tell them that their future as an employee of mine was going to require them to be on time and for me to get a day's work out of them. They were not going to be able to be gamers all night and work for me.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it does require heart-to-heart and a discussion about what's expected in the workplace. And also just maybe a conversation, too, about, hey, it's not just affecting your job, but it's affecting your sleep, which impacts health, which, you know, totally ties to weight gain. There's all these studies just came out. You know, lack of sleep totally ties to issues with metabolism and increases in weight gain.
There's one other thing, you know, and I don't want to just single out the guys. Another thing, of course, I am kind of singling out the millennials a little bit here, but having your phone by your bed, and having the indicator on all night long,
and hearing the text messages come in,
or whatever from all the social media pings. Every time somebody pings something in the middle of the night, somebody's got a breakdown somewhere, you know, in their lives. You get the ping because you're following them, and they can't sleep.
It's not good for us psychologically. It does not help in one bit. I mean, it's so addictive, and it's in a way, it stimulates that part of the brain that makes us happy when we get you've got mail. Oh, awesome. Yay, I got mail. Of course, when you open the mail, it's never good.
Right.
It's always somebody wants something from you or, you know. So I think, work-wise anyway, I think it's important to to turn it off, but the phone unplugged in another room or whatever it takes.
As employers, if you're seeing this in your employees, you may have to get involved. You may have.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.